and we're going to discuss the issue of crime and justice now. And with me is the Minister for Justice, Fine Gael, Meath East candidate Helen McEntee, who joins us from the RTE Roadcaster in Tipperary. In studio here is the Fianna Fáil Justice spokesman and candidate for Dublin Bay South, Jim O'Callaghan, independent candidate for Dublin Rathdown, and former Minister for Justice, Alan Shatter. People Before Profit Solidarity candidate for Dublin West, Ruth Coppinger, and joining us from the TG Cahir studios in Galway is the AIM2 leader and candidate for Meath West, Padraig Tobin. Thank you all for being with us today. Minister Helen McEntee, if I can start with you. If you want to solve a problem, you first have to acknowledge that there is a problem. And that's something I think that you've seemed reluctant to do, describing Dublin, our capital city, as a safe city. After hearing some of the voices of the people in that report, do you still believe that?
Well, good afternoon, Justin. I mean, what I've always said is that there are significant challenges in certain areas. I've never shied away from that, nor would I ever. I've met with a lot of retailers, not just in Dublin city centre, but in Limerick and Cork and Galway and my own constituency in Meath. And I've listened to what they've said to me. And they've said very clearly, yes, there is an increase in aggression. We've seen an increase in reported crimes around retail theft. And that is why I have responded and am responding in the way that I am. So there was a reference there to a specific Garda operation. So that came about because I have and the Gardaí have listened to retailers and we have worked on a similar strategy that was applied when we saw a spate and an increase in home burglaries in years gone by. It's not, as maybe people think, organised crime that you would think of in that sense. It is where you have prolific offenders, where you have people are clearly targeting stores. It could be an individual on their own. But what we know, and this is based on fact, is that about 40% of retail crime is committed by about 8 or 9% of people. It might be one individual on their own, travelling around to stores in rural areas. It might be in the urban areas.
Okay.
If you target those people, you're automatically able to take a very high percentage out of the equation and helping people. Secondly, because of that level of aggression, what we are proposing in our manifesto, and again, this has come through speaking to shop owners and retailers and workers, we are proposing to create a standalone offence for assault a worker. It is not acceptable that somebody would get up and go to work to serve people in their community and that they would face that level of aggression. And we want to acknowledge that and say that this will be a stronger, heavier penalty if you commit that type of
crime. All right. You've also promised an additional 6,000 more Gardaí. That promise has no credibility, does it? Because since you took over as Minister for Justice, Garda numbers actually decreased despite an increasing population.
Well, actually, when I took over the Department of Justice, we had just dealt with and we're still going through the end parts of COVID-19. Our Garda College had been closed to keep people safe. And for 2 years, while we still had natural retirements, while we had people moving and changing jobs, we had no new recruits. So that's what I started with as Minister. What I've done in the time since then, we've reopened the college. We've increased the funding that Gardaí get when they go into the college. I've increased the age at which they can join. I've invested heavily in our Gardaí. There's €500 million more in our Gardaí, in our services, in the equipment, technology and everything that they have and need than when I started. And most importantly, last year saw the highest number of recruits in our college than we had pre-COVID levels. So I'm now confident that we're at the level we're at, but we need a step change. That's why we're proposing to do more. We're going to double the allowance again. We're going to expand the college and make sure that people have an option to potentially train regionally. We're going to do everything we can because I know we need a step change. I know we need more Gardaí on the ground. We all want that and we're absolutely committed
to
that.
Jim O'Callaghan of Fianna Fáil, you've said that there would have been more progress in justice if Fianna Fáil had held that portfolio. The government acts as a collective. Are you trying to shirk your share of the blame for those falling Garda numbers and that sense of people feeling unsafe in our cities and towns?
No, I'm not. But I'm recognising, Justin, that when it comes to a general election, each of the parties, even those that were in government together, go before the public and put forward their own proposals as to how they think the important issues can be resolved. I think that's fairly widespread recognition that when it comes to issues related to justice and crime, that the challenges appear to be growing rather than reducing. I think there's a recognition recognition that there needs to be some, to coin a phrase, new energy brought in to the Department of Justice and a greater political direction. Listen, what we've proposed in respect of Garda numbers, and like this problem can't be resolved unless there's an increase in Garda numbers, but everyone agrees on that. It's how we're going to do it is really the issue that needs to be determined. As I said, we came forward with proposals before in terms of changing the recruitment age. We also now need to look at different mechanisms of allowing people to join the force. If you look at most other European countries, there's other mechanisms and ways to get into the force. The only way to get into the police force in Ireland is through Temple Moor. So we need to consider maybe a graduate training programme. We also have advocated in our manifesto that we'll increase the training allowance from €354 to €500. And again, I think we're going to have to look at the retirement age. We had proposed previously that the age be moved from 60. The Minister, in fairness, adopted that and moved it to 62. I think we're going to have to look at moving it to 65. There are very many fine members of the force who are being forced to retire too early, and we really need to take all mechanisms to keep people within the force.
Okay, some of the commentary around the issue of justice has centred on the Minister's performance in the justice portfolio, and your colleague in Fianna Fáil, Willie O'Dea, described Helen McEntee as the worst Minister for Justice in the history of the state. Do you agree with those comments from your colleague?
I always listen very carefully to Willie O'Dea. He's very long experience, particularly in the justice area, but I don't focus on personalities. I focus on the policies, and I think it's preferable for me.
Do you disagree with him?
I wouldn't say what Willie O'Dea said, but I don't focus on personalities. I focus on policies, and I think when you look at the policies that are put forward by Fianna Fáil in our manifesto, I think they're credible policies in respect of how to respond to the justice situation and the crisis that we're facing at present.
Alan Shatter, you heard some of the retailers in that report raise concerns. You heard the minister say that they're promising a standalone additional offence of assaulting retail workers. Do you agree that that is necessary?
Let me start off by saying I think joined up thinking is needed in tackling this issue, not producing some clever proposal for election purposes. There's very little difference in practical terms between Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil, even in their manifestos. And we've been subjected really to pantomime politics as we enter the Christmas period for a general election. There are fundamental problems within the justice system, and coming directly to the retail issue, there's an epidemic of shoplifting. I see it in my own constituency of Dublin Rathdown. It goes right across the country. There are people terrified of going into Dublin late in the evening in case they're going to be assaulted. And the fundamental problem remains, despite many years of government, of both my former Fine Gael colleagues and Fianna Fáil, is that simply we don't have enough Gardaí, number one, on the streets. Secondly, yes, we must recruit additional Gardaí. That's a big and major issue. But there's pay scale issues that surround that. There's disincentives now in the context of having almost full employment to people joining the Gardaí. And apart from the idea of increasing the retirement age to 62 or 65, we have too many Gardaí after 30 years well qualified to continue as members of the force for maybe another 10 years till they get to the age of 60, who are leaving. And they're leaving because there's a morale issue within the Gardaí.
Would you pay them more?
Well, the first thing I do is solve the morale issue. We have great people in An Garda Síochána. It's very important in the context of the Gardaí that they're a disciplined force, but it's important as balance. And we've had a number of instances that upend the morale of Gardaí, such as the nonsense some time ago when a Garda during the COVID period gave a bicycle that was in lost and found to an elderly pensioner and ended up going through 2 years of disciplinary proceedings. Now, that shouldn't happen. Now, coming directly to the retail issue, it's a complete nonsense to create a separate offence of assaulting a retailer. We have ordinary assault as a crime for over 100 years. We've aggregated assault. Are you going to, if a nurse gets assaulted, is the perpetrator going to get a lesser sentence than someone who assaults someone in a shop? The fundamental reforms we need is, firstly, retail outlets must be able to directly contact their local guard stations. We need far more judges in the courts. We need night sittings of our courts. Our courts are incapable of processing rapidly criminal proceedings, and there's no joined up thinking. substantially more judges are required than either Fine Gael or Fianna Fáil are proposing.
Ruth Coppinger, the larger parties, they're promising more Gardaí, tougher sentences, better surveillance equipment like body cameras for Gardaí, more prison places. Do you agree that all of those things are needed?
I think all of the conditions that Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael have presided over is leading to the potential for an increase in crime and violence. You have a huge growth of inequality, of poverty, of the housing crisis. So, for example, a huge intake in the prison population recently has been women, 95% of whom are charged with petty crimes like shoplifting, very much related to the housing crisis and being in poverty. We have a growth in antisocial behaviour, something that will be raised in communities that I represent quite a lot. Much of it is related to the fact that young people are hanging around with absolutely nowhere to go, hanging around shops, getting into all sorts of potential difficulties, and there are no youth facilities, youth cafes, places for them to meet up and congregate. You know, so I think that, that's very important. Also, international trends whereby there's a growth in prejudice, misogyny is leading to real fear among minorities.
What about the idea of tougher sentences, better surveillance equipment, more Gardaí, more prison places? Do you agree that they are needed?
Well, first of all, in relation to the Gardaí, I think it's about how those resources are being used. So they're using it as an election issue that they're going to suddenly create more Gardaí places, which is actually quite difficult because of the morale issue that's been mentioned. The culture within the Gardaí, but also the cost of living in cities. But what I would like to see is that communities would have genuine democratic oversight of how resources are being used so that they do get responses from Gardaí for their needs. We had a situation in our area where, for example, Debenhams workers who were on picket lines throughout their dispute, Gardaí could suddenly be found.
We're not going to go into any individual cases in relation to this, but you are saying that you want communities to have oversight over and for guards to be accountable for how they police communities. Padraig Tobin, how would you attract more Gardaí into the force?
Can I just say, first of all, there is an increasing frustration amongst the public with regards to the government's promises around Gardaí. These promises are so divorced from reality. So Gardaí numbers have fallen every year since Helen McEntee has been minister. Gardaí are retiring and resigning at the highest figures ever. Rural Garda stations, so many of them are practically open just for a few hours a week. The government won't close these rural Garda stations because it would give bad publicity, but effectively these rural Garda stations are closed, leaving rural communities really exposed. Incredibly, last year, Australia recruited more Irish Gardaí net than the Irish government, which is incredible. And why are they leaving for Australia? They're leaving because of better pay terms and conditions and the chance of owning a home. And we are operating now in an international market, and unless we compete with pay and conditions, we're simply not going to get into the country. The other point I would say is here is the reason why morale is on the floor is because there is mismanagement happening in Garda quarters currently. Like, we're coming closer to the annual, you know, a year ago when the Dublin riots happened, and we knew that Gardaí were actually put in very, very dangerous situations because of the chaotic management of that particular day. And the minister promised a review over the management in relation to that. We've seen no review, we've seen no recommendations, and we've seen no recommendations implemented. Okay. The final point here is, just if I can very briefly, you can have all the laws you want, but if you don't enforce them, it makes no difference.
Right.
And that's the reality here. So every time I hear of a government bringing about a new law in relation to protecting people, it's nonsense and meaningless unless it's enforced.
Minister Helen McEntee, the issue of pay, the Garda Representative Association have said that if you want to attract more people into a career in an Garda Síochána, you have to significantly improve working pay, pensions and conditions to make those already in the force feel more appreciated and supported and convince them to stay. Whatever about increasing training allowances, which you have promised to do, why would you not increase core pay rates of Gardaí to try to boost the numbers?
Well, firstly, what Fine Gael has done and ensured in the last number of years is that when we engage in pay negotiations for our public servants, that they now have a seat around the table, something which hadn't happened before, so that they have an opportunity to negotiate on behalf of their members, to increase their wages, to increase their allowances, and to see that they get the same benefit as any other part of our sector, be it nurses, teachers or otherwise. That's one significant change that has taken place, and that type of engagement will continue as we move on to the next pay agreement discussions. What I've done actually in the last number of years as minister, and I've met with the associations many, many times, is I've sat down and asked them the issues that are important to them. And there are many issues internal, whether it's around travel and subsistence, whether it's other type of allowances, whether it's issues.
What about core pay?
Don't fall under that. We have actually now resolved them in the last number of years. So these are key issues that the associations have been bringing to me that have been there on the table for years. We have now resolved them, and they are issues that will assist in their day-to-day finances. They are issues that will acknowledge the tremendous work that they do, those in senior positions, those in leadership positions, and those in every stage of the overall process. But if I could just point to one particular
I want to ask you, why won't you go beyond increasing allowances? Why not tackle core pay for Gardaí?
Well, we've already done that, and we are doing that. So when you look at, I mean, they are now part of the overall public service pay agreement. That's not something that had been the case before. They didn't have a seat around the table. They didn't have a voice around the table. And what we have made sure is that as these negotiations take place, that they have a seat around the table to be able to negotiate or to be able to, to speak on behalf of their members. You have to look at the fact that we brought all of the public service together to make sure that we could negotiate better paying conditions for whether it's our teachers, whether it's our nurses, whether it's our guards, making sure that everybody can benefit from the changes and a strong economy.
Okay.
Nobody seems to want to talk about this in our economy. If we don't have a strong economy, we can't increase anybody's wages here.
Alan Shatter, do you think that core pay needs to be addressed to try to attract more Gardaí into the force?
Yes, I do. And I think that is a very fundamental issue. And I come back to everything being interlinked. The huge increase in the cost of living in recent years has impacted on families across the country, including Garda families, the difficulty in acquiring a home because there's been, frankly, a failure in government housing policy, for which both Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil are responsible. But on dealing with this whole area, there are other significant changes that are needed that will improve people's lives. The very basic one is more Gardaí on the beat in retail areas will provide deterrent. And what isn't understood, where you have big town centres, like Dundrum Town Centre, again in my constituency, and we have a plethora of shops in Tallaght and other places, the Gardaí can't patrol in these places because they're regarded as private.
When you were Minister for Justice, you closed dozens of Garda stations right around the country, after which we saw an increase in rural crime. Do you regret making that decision now in hindsight?
Oh no, it was all extremely straightforward. I came in as Minister, the Troika were here, the state was bust, Fianna Fáil is just out of government. Fianna Fáil had agreed to reduce the Garda strength from 13,000 to 12,000. I refused to implement that. I insisted the strength didn't fall below 13,000. We had to find savings somewhere. I asked the Garda Commissioner to have a look at were there excessive numbers of stations. Many of them were open for like 2 or 3 hours a day, not open at night. He produced a report which recommended
that certain stations be taken. It had consequences, didn't it, for rural Ireland?
It had no direct consequences because you're forgetting Gardaí have patrol cars. The old idea that if you have a station open till 10 o'clock at night, it stops the burglaries, that's not the way the real world works anymore. The important thing was to provide Garda flexibility, maximum use of resources. But on other areas, we need the Gardaí. One of the major crimes impacting on people is online fraud. We need the Cybercrime Bureau extended with additional people in it, additional Gardaí in it and other experts. We need the Criminal Asset Bureau. The Criminal Asset Bureau was the one area of the Gardaí that was able to deal with Mr. Jerry Hutch and his criminality and managed to acquire some of his assets. And if we want to go after major crime, not just local retail crime, we must bolster the personnel in the Criminal Assets Bureau and in the Cybercrime Bureau.
I want to move on to the issue of drugs. The issue of drugs. Jim O'Callaghan, the Fianna Fáil manifesto says that your party will decriminalise drugs for personal use. Did you sign off on that policy?
Well, that's in the health section of the manifesto, and obviously there's a justice section as well. I approve of everything that's in the policy, but I think what
Did you sign off on that element of the policy as justice spokesman?
It's a health proposal, and I've no difficulty with it.
This question is simple. Did you sign off on
it? I don't know what you mean by sign off. Yeah. The Fianna Fáil
manifesto. Did you put it in there?
I'm not going to say there's collective responsibility for what's in the Fianna Fáil manifesto. We're all responsible for it. We all stand over it. But can I say the issue, the debate that has arisen as a result of it, I welcome it. Drugs is a really complex issue. There's a recognition that there has to be a health response to drugs in circumstances where you have people who are facing addiction issues. But when it comes to issues of dealing in drugs and ruining communities through drugs, that's a criminal justice issue, and the Gardaí really needs stronger measures and powers in order to fight that. In terms of what we had proposed in the manifesto, that is something that in effect, Justin, exists at present. People who are found in possession of small amounts of cannabis are not prosecuted before the criminal courts at present. And what Fianna Fáil has proposed, and some people seem to fail to understand the difference between decriminalisation and legalisation, Fianna Fáil is simply stating what is in effect the reality at present, that people who are found in possession of small amounts of cannabis won't be subjected to criminal sanction. However, the drugs will still remain illegal, Gardaí can still seize them, and the predominant message from Fianna Fáil is drugs are dangerous, stay away from them, they ruin people's lives, particularly the mental health of young people, and that's a message that policymakers, such as all of us here, have to keep re-emphasising.
Okay, Padraig Tobin, do you agree with proposals to decriminalise drugs like cannabis?
No, I think listening to some of the promises that the government are making at the moment, maybe that's the reason why they're looking, Fianna Fáil are looking to legalise cannabis, because some of those promises are so outlandish. But no, we don't believe that we should legalise drugs.
Decriminalise, I think, is the proposal. It's decriminalise rather than legalise.
Even decriminalise. We believe that there should be a legal and a health approach to drugs. And, you know, sometimes it's this false dichotomy created that, you know, it's either one or the other. And the government are talking about now bringing about a health approach. In reality, we've always needed a health approach, and the government simply haven't funded that. In my own county, for example, you can't get a drug rehabilitation bed for a young person at the moment. So even if you're 15 or 16 and you want to get off drugs, you don't have the facilities to actually do that in my own constituency.
So you still believe people, do you, who are caught by Gardaí with small amounts of cannabis, that they should be criminalised, those people?
I think the status quo is acceptable, and there are occasions where people are caught with small amounts and do not get a criminal record or get the Probation Act in relation to that. So they don't have a case following them around for the rest of their lives. But the key point here is...
I want to come to Ruth Coppinger on this. I'll come back to you in a second. Ruth Coppinger, where do you stand on decriminalisation of drugs like cannabis?
Yeah, well, I mean, obviously I'm not in favour of people being criminalised for personally using drugs. There was a citizens' assembly set up on this issue. Then there was an Oireachtas committee, which Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael, Oireachtas members all voted in favour of, and they seem to be pretending that they didn't, which basically agreed that personal use of drugs, and it said all illicit drugs, not just cannabis, all illicit drugs should not be criminalised. So it's very clear that what has been done traditionally has not worked. There is much more widespread use of drugs among young people in society now than there ever was before. So the idea now of making this a hard man issue during the election, and we have to point to the fact that we have got addiction problems in many communities that have festered for decades. The services have been cut for rehabilitation by about 90% in the 2010 decade, and that has to change. There has to be a way for people to be assisted to come off the hard drugs that they're addicted to.
Minister Helen McEntee, your party was involved in that Oireachtas committee as well, which agreed that drugs should be decriminalised. Why have you taken a different approach during this election?
Well, we have listened very clearly to our Gardaí. I mean, we're here talking about crime, we're talking about antisocial behaviour, we're talking about challenges that we know exist in certain communities. And the Gardaí have said very clearly, if you decriminalise drugs, you will make things 10 times worse. You will open a Pandora's box that will be very hard to close. What we are proposing, and we're very clear on this, is that we keep the approach that's there at the moment. that we ensure if a person is caught, that the Garda themselves has an opportunity to make a decision based on that individual themselves, what the scenario is, whether they use a criminal justice approach or whether they go a different route. By decriminalising it, that doesn't change the health-led approach that's needed. So what we are saying is we want to continue to give that flexibility to our Gardaí while listening to them at the same time when they say decriminalising it is not the way to go. My focus and our focus is making sure that the people who are bringing these drugs into our communities, the people at the very top, that they are our targets. I travelled to the UAE only a couple of weeks ago to make sure that the criminals, the people at the very top who are leaving our country, who are still inflicting this misery in our communities and thinking they can get away with it because they move country, that they can be brought home and face justice here. I've also introduced a new law which specifically focuses on grooming of children. We know so much of the work that these gangs are doing are through young people in our streets, in our towns and communities. We need to acknowledge that, the harm that they are causing, and making sure that anybody who draws a young person into this horrendous life of crime, that they are facing tougher and stronger penalties. So I disagree that introducing new laws are not the right thing to do. I think if somebody is committing a very serious crime or dragging our young people into a life of crime, they should be held accountable and there should be stronger sentences.
Patrick Tobin wants to come back in.
Yeah, just I just think it's amazing that Fianna Fáil are talking about banning flavoured vapes and, you know, raising the age of cigarette use, but at the same time they're talking about the decriminalisation of cannabis. We know that there's strong links between mental health issues and psychosis with the use of cannabis, and reduced use in the general population reduces the level of harm. It's easier for a parent to be able to, you know, to have a conversation with a child to say desist from this if you can, because it is illegal. There's a legal penalty potentially in relation to it. And where it is legalised, there is increased use and therefore increased harm.
Jim O'Callaghan, do you want to respond to that? Banning vapes but allowing cannabis.
Sorry, Padraig's absolutely right. Legalisation of drugs is a really bad idea, and we're not proposing legalisation of
decriminalisation
drugs. What has been proposed here is what's actually happening at present. If people are found in possession of small amounts of cannabis, they're not prosecuted. They're not brought before the courts. The Gardaí, in effect, say they do nothing about it. The Gardaí may seize the drugs, but it's because they are illegal, but there is, in effect, no prosecution. We're simply reflecting the reality of the fact that people found in possession of small amounts of cannabis are not being brought before the district court.
This is a very bizarre conversation, because I've read the Fianna Fáil manifesto. The Fianna Fáil was quite clear with the policy that came out that they wanted to decriminalise the use of drugs. It was conditional on anything. I don't disagree with anything either Pat Tobin or Helen McEntee have said. But in the context of dealing with this issue, there are two fundamental things. Medical research has established that young adults, continuous use of cannabis, I'm not talking about using it a couple of times, but continuous use of cannabis can in later years result in schizophrenia. That's a major and important issue. And the second issue, and Ruth and I would be in agreement on this, is that we do not have adequate addiction services. It's all very well. There's laws there. We don't need new laws in relation to the drug issue. What we need is a proper engagement with young people. Those who are selling the drugs need to be prosecuted, criminalised and sent to jail and are prying on our young people. And what we also need to ensure is those who are drug addicted have ready access to addiction services so they get their lives back on track. And that isn't possible at the moment for far too many.
Justin, can I mention a very important issue that hasn't come up, which is the crime of violence against women? And there's huge fears out there about this issue. It's something being stoked up about by the far right. And the minister said that she would make this a priority, but we still have a situation where it's extremely difficult for anyone to pursue a case right the way through the courts. You have to report the crime. You have to show massive fortitude in waiting 5 years for a case to be heard while you're being re-traumatised.
What changes are you proposing then?
Well, I've published a 10-point plan of changes myself that I think should be made. Things like not allowing the counselling notes to be used in defence, advocacy for plaintiffs, compulsory training of the judiciary, which doesn't exist, to outlaw rape myths and victim blaming in courts, things like nobody should wait for longer than a year, which would require massive investment into the court service.
All right.
And the minister really should have prioritised this and hasn't.
A brief response from the minister on that. Minister Rhodes wants to outlaw character references and protect the confidentiality of counselling notes for a defence team in sexual violence cases. Do you agree that those should be done?
So firstly, Ruth, as a 10-point plan, I have a whole-of-government plan stretched over 5 years that has over 150 different actions, many
just on
of
those
which
two specific
have already
things.
Been implemented. We've been very clear in our manifesto. We want to remove the challenge and the barrier that exists where victims' counselling notes can be produced in court, and I've made that very clear, and work is already underway in that. But to suggest that this as an issue has not been a priority when we have more than trebled the staff and the funding that have gone into domestic violence. It was 22 when I came in. It's 71 million euro
but
now.
There's one other
established a dedicated domestic violence agency to deal with this across government, and not only that, I've set a plan in train to make sure that we double the amount of refuge spaces while at the same time committing to make sure that the victim is not the person that should be leaving the home.
There's 500 women turned away from Blanchardstown Refuge every year. That has actually not changed. There's been a decade of neglect.
And that is why the plan is so important. I opened the first of the new refuges in Wexford earlier on this year, a state-of-the-art facility that will help many, many women put their lives back on track. And unfortunately, this is women that we're talking about.
I'm afraid
most of the
we're almost out of time. I do want to come to the Minister on one other issue specific to her own party, and that is the decision of Fine Gael to select Senator John McGahan to run for the party in the general election in Louth. Earlier this year, Minister, as you know, a High Court jury ordered Mr. McGahan to pay a man €39,000 over a late night assault outside a pub in County Louth. He had been found not guilty in a criminal trial in 2022, but in the civil courts, he was found 65% liable for damages. The victim of that attack, Breen White, has given an interview in the Sunday Times today expressing his dismay that Mr. McGahan was selected to run for your party. Sinn Féin have also been asking today why Mr. McGahan was allowed to go forward for election in light of that court ruling, and the Fianna Fáil leader Micheál Martin has said that this is a very serious matter for Fine Gael. Why was John McGahan selected?
So Senator McGahan, as you've just said, was before a criminal court with a jury of his peers. In that trial, all the evidence was seen, was heard, was presented, and based on that evidence, he was acquitted of the accusation of assault.
He was.
I think every person has the right to go through that particular process.
But he was
found not guilty of what he was being accused of on the basis that he put forward a defence of self-defence. I think every person has a right to go through
He paid damages in the civil courts, though, Minister. Does the voice of the victim matter here at all? Because there's an image of John of the victim in the Sunday Times today displaying very significant wounds and injuries. Does his voice matter at all here when it comes to selection of candidates by your party?
A victim's voice will always matter and will always be front and centre. Everything that I've done in the Department of Justice has been to put victims at the very centre, but we have a trial process, we have a criminal justice process. John McGahan has gone through that and was, by a jury of his peers, acquitted of the crime that he was before the trial
will he remain,
and I think we have to ensure that we protect and we uphold our criminal justice system, no matter who it applies to.
Will he remain on the Fine Gael ticket?
Yes, he will. Can I just say this? It is up to the people of Louth, the people of his constituency, to decide if they want to see him. The same way it is for every constituency, for people to decide who they want representing them in their county. And I believe that John has already done a fantastic job in representing the people of Louth.
All right, that's all we have time for on that issue. Thank you to our guests today, Helen McEntee of Fine Gael, Jim O'Callaghan of Fianna Fáil, Alan Shatter, Independent, Ruth Coppinger, Solidarity, People Before Profit, and Padraig Tobin of AIM2. We're back with more after this break.